Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question you'd like us to address, if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. The number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and we want to hear from you, like we're going to hear from Bob Christopher right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about Pentecost this week. It is a very important day in the life of the church. It's when the church actually was birthed.
Yes.
When God poured out his Holy Spirit, and that's this Sunday, May 20th. That's 50 days after the resurrection. That's what the term Penta means, 50. And so 50 days following the resurrection of Christ was the celebration of Pentecost. Now, 10 days prior to that, Jesus had ascended into heaven. He gave his disciples some instructions. They were to wait in Jerusalem. They were to wait to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And when they were going to be witnesses. And we see that promise being fulfilled throughout the book of Acts. They were witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the utter ends of the earth. And it's exciting to see how it played out. And that story continues to be played out today through the church today, through us, through you, through me, through anyone who has received Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and he continues to act out this life that he's given us in ways that impacts this world, that draws others into the kingdom of God. So the story of Acts, the book of Acts, is continuing to be written today. So that's great news. But I love this passage in Acts 2, 32 and 33. So Peter has stood up, and he is explaining what's going on to the people. And in this explanation, he's really talking about Jesus. That is the story. I mean, the whole Bible is a story about Jesus. And we really see it coming to a head, to a climax right here as Peter gives the explanation that this Jesus whom you crucified. Well, in verse 32, we pick up, he said, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." So if you want to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ, you can't just communicate his death. You have to follow through and communicate his resurrection, because that's a single event, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter talked about the crucifixion, but he concludes on this high note that God raised this Jesus from the dead, and they were witnesses to that. They didn't see it actually occur, but they encountered the resurrected Jesus on several occasions during that 40 days that he walked on planet Earth in his resurrected body. So they were witnesses to that. And then he goes on to say, "being therefore exalted at the right hand of God." So Jesus ascended. They saw him ascending. He said, "just the way you've seen me ascend, I'm going to return." But when he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And he's exalted there. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. So the way Peter puts it is that when Jesus took up his rightful position at the right hand of God the Father, then the Father gave to him this Spirit to pour out on mankind. We know that this had been promised long before this exalting took place. Jesus even told his disciples that it's good for you that I'm leaving, because when I do, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. So they knew the promise of the Spirit. They had heard it direct from Jesus' mouth. So it could be a part of that as well, that Peter is referring to here, that having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So what was the explanation of the crazy and strange things that were happening that day in Jerusalem? Well, it was the giving of the Holy Spirit, the gift that the Father had promised Jesus, who gave to Jesus, who poured out on us. And so we all experience our own personal Pentecost the day that we receive Christ.
Yes.
What happens to us? God pours his Spirit out on us, and his Spirit takes up residence in us. I think this is the most important truth that we can hold on to as believers in Christ, because this Spirit who lives in us is God himself. It's not just a force. It's not just a power. It's God himself, which means regardless of what's going on in life, God is right there with me in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's somebody I can lean into. That's somebody that I can trust. That's somebody that gives me hope regardless of what life is throwing at me.
Absolutely. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. And this, of course, is the kind of good news that we hear every day. And we're so glad that you're here to hear it today. Friends, please remember that Basic Gospel needs your help. We are self-supported, or listener-supported, I should say. And to keep the good news coming, you can donate online at basicgospel.net, or you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Now, with your gift this month, you're going to receive our new 2-CD series. It's a 5-message set. It's called It Is Finished. It drives home the truth that in Christ forgiveness is accomplished now and forever. And that is good news. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And that number is available right now if you'd like to be a part of the live broadcast, 844-322-2742. And every day for the last week or so, we've been mentioning as we close the broadcast that that number is open overnight. And several of you have been taking advantage of that. And that's exactly what we want to see happen. And that first one is from David. Let's listen to his question right now.
This is David. I wanted to ask regarding what Jesus said. I believe it's Luke 10. He said, he does not give up everything for my sake. It's not worthy of me. I just wanted to know what that truly meant, to say, like, if we're missing the mark anywhere, maybe we're not, you know, caring for the poor like we should be. If that means we're truly not saved, if we're not in Jesus. I just wonder what that means, if it means we are not truly saved. If, you know, does salvation mean that we have to be 100% submission to Jesus, even if we're missing the mark somewhere? All right. Thank you.
It's an interesting question. It's all about the cost of discipleship, and there are several different passages in the New Testament that speak about this. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus speaks about it. Luke chapter 9, and also Luke chapter 14. We see different aspects of this cost of discipleship. And what I think Jesus is actually telling us there is you need to see for yourselves what the source of genuine, true, real life is. Now, when we come into this world, we're trying to find genuine life, authentic life out there in the world through our relationships, through our family identities, through wealth, through riches, through fame, through power, through all of those sort of things. We think that's where life is to be found, but that's not true. We can reach, you know, the top of all of those areas. We can be the most powerful people in the world. We can have the most money in the world, but still we're empty on the inside. We're dead spiritually. There's only one source of life, true, genuine life, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And so it's a call to examine and say, here, you've been out there in the world. What have you found to be true as far as fulfillment and contentment and genuine life out there? Well, I've found it to be empty. I've found that I'm still wanting. Well, are you willing to receive Jesus Christ as your life? Now, what does that mean? That it means this: you're going to forsake searching for life out there and rest confidently in the fact that you have life in Jesus Christ. That's the cost, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And for many people, you know, it's a heavy cost. You know, there are folks, we've heard stories of Muslims who have come to Christ, and when they do, they're ostracized. They're kicked out of their families. They're booted out of their communities. They are left as just people being dead to what they once belonged to. And that's a heavy cost. But when you realize that life is found in Christ, it's not a heavy cost at all. Mm-hmm. because I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And I think that's all that Jesus is trying to teach us in these different passages. Richard?
Yeah, I think what most of us do, and it's a human tendency, is we try to be our own hedge fund managers relative to salvation. You know, I have a certain amount of money, I think, and I'm going to look at this stuff over here and sell short over there in case it all goes wrong, and I'm going to hedge my bets. And Jesus comes to us and says, no, that's not how it works. You know, that may work in your financial system, but it doesn't work in my economy. And so giving up our old economy, giving up all of the things that used to give us meaning and purpose is the only approach we can take with Jesus. It's him or nothing.
That's exactly
and
right.
He's very exclusive in that claim, and then he backs it up. And when you accept him, he demonstrates why it's true.
Yeah, and in Matthew 10:39, he kind of summarizes it this way: whoever finds his life will lose it. So if you're trying to find yourself, find your life out there in the world, at the end you're going to lose it. Why? Because that's death. But he says, whoever loses his life for my sake, whoever dies in Christ is going to find life through this resurrection. We're going to be raised to walk in the newness of life.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel again. Glad you're with us today. Open lines 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, whether you live in the U.S. or in Canada. That's a toll-free call, of course, 844-322-2742. Friends, I want to remind you that if you've ever wanted to visit the Holy Land, well, a great chance coming up next year, May 25th through June 6th. This exciting tour of Israel will include the most historic biblical sites, and, of course, including Jerusalem, the city of our redemption, and where the Holy Spirit, as Bob was saying, was first given permanently to believers on that day of Pentecost. Also included is going to be a visit to Petra in neighboring Jordan. Registration now open, and we hope you will be among those that take this wonderful trip. All the information is available online. Just click the banner at the top of the page, basicgospel.net, and we would love to see you on that particular trip. Well, guys, we had a question from our friend Corey. He wants to know, actually, let's do this. Another call came in overnight. Let's go to that call right now and see who it's from.
Hi, this is Randy calling from Edmonton, Alberta. I would like to know the teaching from Luke 16, Parable of the Shrewd Manager. I'd like to know what Christ is trying to teach there. He seems to affirm a crook. The Parable of the Shrewd Manager, I don't know what the lesson is. If you could explain that, I would appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Well, he certainly wasn't condoning or confirming a crook, but he was saying that he was more shrewd in dealing with people than we as children of light are in dealing with people. But the whole point of it is shown to us really late in this particular passage. This is Luke 16, verses 1 all the way down through verse 13 or maybe even further than that. He's talking about no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so that's what this shrewd manager was doing.
Yes.
He was serving money, but he knew how to handle it, knew how to make transactions with it, knew how to release people from their debts of what they owed to others so that he could secure something for himself. Mm-hmm. So he knew he was about to lose his job. He knew his boss wasn't happy with him. And so he cut some deals so that he could be welcomed by his friends that he had cut those deals with.
Yeah.
And he's saying to us as believers, we need to be stewards of the money that God has given us. We shouldn't love that money. We shouldn't serve that money. We should be stewards of it and invest into the kingdom of heaven, store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And that's all he's saying here. And so take the example of the shrewd manager and become wise in Christ on how to use the wealth and the resources that God has placed and it's called you to steward while you're here on this planet.
Yeah, it's a very telling statement that in 14, verse 14 says, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's identifying them as the shrewd manager, and this isn't a good thing.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
This is don't go there.
Yes.
I mean, you'll get, you know, worldly praise, but don't expect anything from God.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, again, Basic Gospel open lines, 844-322-2742. Another call that came in, this is from Philip, and it's a very interesting question. Let's listen.
Yeah, I was wondering about salvation. I've heard, you know, you're born lost and you get saved. Like, how does that relate to babies? I'd assume if an infant dies or a baby died, they would automatically go into heaven. And if that's so, how does that work to where are you, like, really born saved? If you die and you're a baby, you go to heaven. But as you get older, you're lost again and you have to find Jesus and get resaved. I just wanted to explain that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Philip. Yeah. Thanks for that question. All of us are born into sin.
Yes.
We're born dead spiritually. Well, say if an infant dies, you know, they haven't been able to hear or wouldn't even be able to comprehend what the gospel is. So what's going to happen to that baby? Well, we have to lay that at the feet of the very character of God, the God who is love, the God who so loved us, sent Jesus so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we know based on his character revealed to us in the Word of God and what we've seen in some various passages that the streets of heaven are going to be filled with children. And so we can only assume based on that character that when an infant dies, they're immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of anything that they've done or not done.
Yeah, and not because of their innocence, because
right,
they're not.
Right, right. And we start seeing that they're not innocent very quickly. You know, 1 or 2 years old, they learn to lie before they can even talk. We start seeing this. We don't pay a lot of attention to it, but those are the early signs, and those start multiplying, and we start seeing our kids fight with other kids on the playground, and we start seeing their selfishness really manifest itself in so many different ways. We start seeing what lostness looks like.
Yeah.
And then at a point in time, they start to really have some introspection. Something's wrong with me. Like my daughter, Mackenzie, she was having a conversation, or her brother and sister, Coleman and Caitlin, were having a conversation with her about Jesus living in their hearts and that sort of thing, and that she needed Jesus in her heart. And she just said, well, I guess Satan is the one that lives in my heart at a very young age. But she knew something wasn't quite right deep within her. So she had been sensing that spiritual death, what that was all about. She had been really understanding what it meant to be off, not right, something missing inside. And it was through that conversation that she started opening up her heart and mind to the Lord Jesus as well. So we start seeing that early on. But as far as infants are concerned, we put them in the hands of a loving, just, merciful, forgiving Savior.
Yeah. Well, the only way that we can continue to disseminate this message, this good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, friends, is because of your support. Now, Richard, we have been very encouraged in the last months that to see our listeners step up and really, really meaningfully support the ministry. How important is it as we move forward to see this message get disseminated on an even wider scale?
Well, all you have to do is look around, pay attention to what's happening around you in your town, in your family, around the world. I mean, pick the location. Mm-hmm. People need Jesus. It's never been more true. It will never be more true. People need Jesus. And we are blessed because of the people who support us, who are actually sharing Jesus themselves.
Yeah.
We are blessed to be their mouthpieces. We get a chance to sit here and talk about the gospel every day, mm-hmm, and to hear the changed lives and the phone calls and the emails we get and all of that. That's how important this is. It's literally the difference between life and death for someone. We don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. They don't always call us or communicate with us in another way, but there is somebody out there today listening to what we're saying, and because of how Jesus and the Spirit translate our words into their lives are going to be changed. You make that possible when you donate to this ministry. There's just nothing more important than that.
Yeah. Yes. And, of course, you and Bob have been working on this resource that we're offering called It Is Finished. Mm-hmm. And, man, is that an important resource that our listeners can avail themselves of as they make their gifts this month to Basic Gospel. So, friends, go online to basicgospel.net, click donate, or you can call that same number anytime, 24 hours a day, and make your contribution. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, now that question from Corey. He says, why is it in the Western world that we are so fixated on the King James translation as if any other translation is either misleading or against God's will? He says, I love to teach either from the ESV or the NASB, since I found that they were more word-for-word translations from the original text. I'm not a Bible scholar with a theology degree, but I love the gospel message of the new covenant of grace, and I believe the simpler is the better. And that's from Corey, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app, as a matter of fact.
Well, we appreciate that, and that's a very good question. And, boy, there is great debate on translations. Yes. Which is the best? Which one should I read? There are folks that just stand by the King James Version, you know, and that's the only version for them. And they, you know, if pressed, they would say, you know, that's the version that Paul read and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the King James Version was one of the first English translations.
And powerful.
It wasn't the first.
No.
It wasn't the first. And a lot of what those translators did was take the work that had been already done and bring it over into their King James Version. The other thing about the King James Version, a lot of it was translated from the Latin Vulgate. So it wasn't directly from the original language. It was from Jerome's work in translating the Septuagint into Latin. And so it was, in many cases, a translation off of a translation. Well, the argument as to whether it's King James Version or another one really gets back to manuscripts. There have been, you know, in the last several hundred years, great work in discovering new manuscripts. And some of these manuscripts, when they're dated, it's very close to the actual writings of these letters and a lot of the New Testament writings. So they've gathered those up. They've put together kind of a single manuscript, and a lot of the modern translations are translated off of those. And so they say it's earlier to the time of the writing. And King James Version is off of manuscripts that are much later. So that's the argument. Which is better? Well, when you look at all of them, you see there's very little difference here or there.
Certainly not for salvation.
That's exactly right. So we just have to come to grips and with the fact that, you know, these are all translations. We have to trust that the translation work was good. But in the end, we have to trust the Holy Spirit to reveal the meaning to us.
Yeah.
We can't discern this through human intellect. This is truth that has to be discerned spiritually. And that's why Pentecost is so important, because God has given us His Spirit, and with His Spirit, we can understand what the Word of God actually means.
Absolutely. Well, that's the good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. I want to remind you, of course, and underscore what Richard and Bob say so often. To grow in your Christian life, it's vital that you understand that you have forgiveness. It is a done deal. Only then can real growth begin. And at Basic Gospel, that's our primary focus. And to help you come to a full understanding of your forgiveness in Christ, we have an excellent new resource that we've talked about. It's called It Is Finished. 5 messages and a 2-CD set. And it's yours when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Help us keep the good news coming and share it with your family and friends. Again, donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And again, remember, that same number is available overnight if you have a question you'd like to get to us. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.